What are the types of shirk? ما هي أنواع الشرك؟ Major shirk, minor shirk,
and
human shirk. What is the major shirk?
Making partner with others from Allah.
Okay. What is the minor shirk? Wearing talisman. Is minor shirk something that is not important? So why we call it minor?
It's lesser than the big one. Comparing to major shirk.
Okay. What is the definition of al-ibadah? Who can give us this definition in English? Who heard it now?
My father can give the definition.
Good, very good. This is the definition of ibadah as far as the act. We want to know the definition of ibadah as far as what does it include?
Everything that you do in life, praying, eating, drinking, walking, talking,
smoking cigarettes,
everything that's beneficial for the believer.
How about better than beneficial? Everything that is, everything that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is accepted and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers? To abandon the food. And the other one is إِقَامَةُ الْحُجَجِ رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ لِأَنَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. So to establish the proof. And the second one is رَحْمَةٌ mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We say the decree of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala falls into two categories. Who can tell us those two categories? Who can give us the quality of the legislative decree?
Something that Allah loves, it will be done. But if you do not talk with your mind, you cannot do it either. Allah has told you to do it, but if you don't do it,
So the first one, it's always beloved to Allah.
You can do it, you cannot do it.
It may take place or it may not take place. What is the quality of to be decreed?
Always take place.
ما هي خصائص الخصائص القضاء الكوني أو القضاء القدري؟ سميها ما شئت. It has to take place, but it may be beloved to Allah and it may be not beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now we're going to ask the question, how could you respond to somebody and say, how come Allah will make things take place in this universe and he does not love those things?
His
servant?
Everything has wonders. Even if I might not like it, everything has wonders in the revelation. That everything that we have, we benefit from each one of the things. Even if I love it, that we benefit from one
another. That is a good answer, but we need it to be more elaborate.
Maybe something that we love by Allah, but maybe consistent with the power of it.
So, so love is two types.
And
the
other
part
is what
comes behind it. So does Allah love disbelief? Does Allah love the consequences of disbelief? What are the consequences of kufr?
Kufr.
Jihad.
Iman. Da'wah. If there was no disbelief, would there be any da'wah to believe? If there was no disbelief, would there be any jihad, any struggle? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love disbelief in of itself, but the consequences of disbelief is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say slavery to Allah azza wa jalla is two types, general and specific. Who can tell us the difference between the general slavery and the specific slavery? Yes, we did. Go back to the tape. You have it? We said the general slavery, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ.
No. Your passport.
Okay, we'll take your word for it. But we're going to go back to the tape. Next one, we finish with that. We'll go back to it. So we're going to skip that. So we're going to start from here now. Slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is two types, general and specific. Everything that is created on this earth is enslaved to Allah azza wa jalla, whether they like it or not. The disbeliever is the slave of Allah azza wa jalla, and the believer is the slave of Allah azza wa jalla. The obedient is enslaved to Allah azza wa jalla, and the disobedient is enslaved to Allah azza wa jalla. This generality comes from the ayah in Surah Al-An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He is the one who is mighty over his slave. And that includes every slave. But there is the other type of slavery, the slavery of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the slavery that comes out of obedience. We know this slavery as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْلًا. The slaves of Allah are those who walk on earth with ease. So that does not negate those who do not walk on earth with ease. They're not the slaves of Allah. They are the slaves to Allah, but they do not have the slavery of obedience. Therefore, the best position we can occupy in this is to be enslaved to Allah Azza wa Jalla. The most honorable title for us, what is it? اللقب الذي اللقب به ما هو أفضل الألقاب الذي اللقب بها هو عبد الله. The most honorable title for you, not Mr. President, not Mr. This, not Mr. That, not what, no, do not, لا ترقب في المسجد. الركض في المسجد ممنوع. So the most honorable title that you get is to be Abdullah. So how people want to, you know, show off. He put a gold watch on his hand. He rides a nice car. He put a silk suit. He thinks he is now a hot shot. Whereas he does not equal the wing of mosquitoes. He is nothing. But what would make you honorable is how much you accomplish your slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave, to honor him. In three different circumstances. The first circumstance is the circumstance of challenge. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was challenging the disbelievers, he said, if you were in doubt in what we have revealed to our slaves, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. If you were in doubt in that which we have revealed to our slaves. So he referred to him not to, if you were in doubt in that which we revealed to Muhammad al-Qurashi, who is the most honorable genealogy on earth, he is from the tribe of Quraysh. He did not refer to him as such. He referred to him as the slave of Allah, because that is the most honorable position a person can accomplish. Also, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah wants to show his favor over him, what did he say? He referred to him as the slave. He said, Subhanallahi asra bi'abdihi. The glory be to the one who took his slave from the masjid, from the Masjid al-Haram, the Masjid in Mecca, to the Masjid in Jerusalem. So this is showing the bounty over Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they referred to him as the slave. The third incident, the third circumstance is the circumstance of da'wah. When Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is making da'wah, he says, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ كَادُوا يَقُومُونَ عَلَيْهِ يَدْعُوهُ. When the slave of Allah stood up to make the call. Stood up to make the call. When the slave of Allah. So he referred to him as his slave. From this we understand the most honorable position that we can give in our life is the position of achieving our and enslaving ourselves to Allah Azza wa Jal by doing those things which He made mandatory for us to do, by giving gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, and by also being patient when some calamities befall us. We go, inshaAllah, to the ayah that is in the book. And this is after we finish the ayah, وَقَضَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. We have thought about this ayah, وَقَضَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Do you have your book? Is there those English books in the... This ayah that Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Jahad brought in the first chapter is this ayah, وَقَدَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. Your Lord has decreed that you worship none of Him. We have talked about this portion of this ayah. The second portion of this ayah, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be dutiful to your parents. Allah always connected establishing Tawheed, when He ordered us to establish Tawheed, also to be good to our parents. We are the reason by which we were brought to this life. We have to be good to our parents, whether they are believers or disbelievers. We have to be kind and we have to be gentle to them, as long as they are not fighting the religion. If they are fighting the religion, then you have your life and they have their own life. But if they are, even if they are disbelievers, but they are not fighting the religion, that does not prohibit you to be kind and gentle to them. And that would mean to be dutiful to your parents. It would mean a word of disrespect. We do not say if they are old, when a person gets old, his requirements get low. they're increased. Give me this, give me this, give me this, I want this. So people might have the tendency to, you know, be bored with this. They all, and I've had it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us not to say to them a word of disrespect. Nor shout at them, but address them in terms of honor. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. It was translated, good term of translation, and say to them words in terms of honor. And that implies the way you say it to them and what you say to them. If somebody tells you, your father tells you, please give me a cup of water. You tell him, okay, I'm going to give you a cup of water. You're going to give them the cup of water, but the way you are delivering your task is not nice. It's not serene. So you have to deliver it to them in a nice way, and also in of itself has to be nice. And lower unto them the wing of submission and humility because of mercy. People have wings that are not seen. This wing is the wing of arrogance. People, they put the wing of arrogance and they try to fly over the people. So they see the people down and they see himself very high. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, lower your wing to your parents, the wing of submission. Do not see yourself, you are now strong and powerful. No, you have to lower yourself to them and address them with humility. Because that reflects your mercy to them, and say, oh Allah, bestow on them your mercy as they did to bring me up when I was small. They are the ones who struggle in raising you up and go through all the difficulties of raising up a child. And those difficulties cannot be understood unless when the child himself is raising his own child. Then the child will understand how much the parents went through for raising this child. So this is the first ayah that the Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala has brought in the first chapter of this book. So the second ayah is in Surah Nisa. It says, وَعْبِدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and do not associate none with Him. That also implies what we have talked about before, that worshiping Allah has to have two things, affirmation and negation. To affirm that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and to negate any other from being worthy of worship. If a person say, Allah يستحق العبادة, هل هذا يعني لغة أن الصلاة لا يستحق العبادة؟ لا يعني, ولكن أن يأتي بإثبات ونفي. قل لا يستحق العبادة إلا الله. If you say Allah is worthy of worship, that does not mean you are perfect, you believe there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Therefore, in this ayah of Surah Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always he brought those two. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, this is an order, a command, an amr for us to worship Allah and do not associate anything with Him. This ayah also says after that, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, be dutiful to your parents. We say in the explanation of this, just like we have said to in the previous ayah, be good and gentle and nice to your parents. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and be good and nice to your relatives. Your relatives, you have to be good and nice to them. You have to connect them, you have to visit them, you have to establish some relationship with them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to follow the Quran and the Sunnah as it was understood and implemented by our righteous predecessors. But one of our relatives has not received this bounty. That does not give us the excuse to just disconnect this person altogether. But we have to invite this person and connect him and try to be a means for him to receive the bounty that we have received. And we have to beautify ourselves with patience in doing so. So you have to be good to the relatives, and you have to be good to the orphan. The orphan is the one whose father has died and he has not came to the age of maturity. This is the orphan. We have to be good for the orphan, because usually a person who is orphan, he feels a little bit unprotected, because his father who stands up for him is not there, and his mother cannot do the job of the father. So we have to be extra kind and extra nice to those who are orphans. With Masakeen, also we have to be good to Al-Masakeen. Al-Masakeen is the needy person, the person who is in need. If a Masakeen comes to you, you have to be nice to him. And also you have to be good to your neighbor, the neighbor who is close to you, and the neighbor who is far away from you. And you have to be good with Al-Sahibi Bil-Jambi. This is Al-Sahibi Bil-Jambi. It will have different tafsir to the meaning of them. One of the two tafsirs, it says, your companionship in your traveling, because he will be next to you, or your wife, because she is always next to you. And both meanings are correct. So the tafsir of that could be the Rizzi Yusafir Ma'aka, or Al-Zawja, here of Al-Sahibi Bil-Jambi. So we have to be good to both of them. This is the recommendation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we have to be good to Ibn Sabil. Ibn Sabil is the one who is traveling, and in the middle of his travel he runs out of resources. We have to be good to him, give him what he needs to reach his destination, whether he is rich in his country or not. A person might travel and come here, and his country is very rich, but here he lost his money. We do not tell him, well, you are rich in your country, so you have to take a loan from us, we're not going to give you any money. Because he is an Ibn Sabil, and he deserves his right for us to give him what is needed for him to reach his destination. And what's your right hand for this? You have to be good. What's your right hand for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded in this ayah that he does not love those who are boastful, and those who are who like to brag. Allah do not like those type of people. Of course, when any Muslim hears that Allah does not like this and does not like that, what does it mean? We have to run away from this life. We have to stay away from being muqtal, and we have to stay away from being a fool. But we have to train ourselves to be humble. So let's count what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in this ayah. Worship Allah and do not associate anything with Him. Be dutiful to your parents and to your relatives and to your orphan. And to your orphans, and to the orphan, and to Al-Miskeen, and to the relative, to the neighbor who is next to you, and the neighbor who is far away from you, and the companion, and the one who is traveling, and the one that is you, your what is your right hand for this? How many you have done? 11. All together. So in this short ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an order to be good to 11 types of people. We have to count, we have to consider, and we have to reflect on the verses of Al-Quran, how they are very powerful. If the people, the Muslims, go by this ayah only, kindness would be among the Muslims. they will be dealing with each other with kindness. They will be dealing with each other with friendliness. Because everyone is a neighbor for somebody else. Every Muslim is a neighbor for Muslim. In our situation of remains orphan. And we are very much in dire straits for kindness and gentleness to be present in our dealing, in our affairs. We find the Muslim, unfortunately, when they come to dealing with each other, they're very, what did you say?
Stingy.
Stingy and tough and very unpleasant. But when they go and they want to deal with the end of the disbeliever, mashallah, you find him very nice and very kind. That's the exact opposite of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. They said in the Quran, they are ruhama, they are merciful within each other. And they are hard on the disbeliever. Now, we have it, much like we have a lot of things backwards, this is also backwards. So we have to say this reminder for us to be kind and nice to each other and to forgive the mistake of one another, inshaAllah. This is chapter number 4, verse number 36. Having said that, we move to the next ayat, or the next three ayat that were brought by the Shaykh to give the evidence that worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawheed. To singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the worship is tawheed. He brought the three very famous ayat in Surah Al-An'am. Number 1, number 161, I believe, is part of this. Number 161. It says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَكْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Say, O Muhammad, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited you from. Join not anything in worship with Him. This is the first thing that Prophet Muhammad is telling us. To worship nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second, also, and be good and dutiful to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So we have now three ayat in the Quran. In Surah Al-Isra, وَقَدَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Also in Surah Al-Nisa, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. أو in Surah Al-An'am, Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Always Allah سبحانه وتعالى made it after He mentioned that Tawheed has to be established to Him, He told us to be dutiful to our parents. If that indicates anything, it indicates the importance of being dutiful to one's parents. And then it says, kill not your children because of poverty. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Kill not your children because of poverty, because Allah will provide for them with the provided for you. A lot of people, they say, well, I'm afraid, I don't have enough money, I do not have this, I do not have that. If I have the children, there will be no sustenance for my children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not kill your children because of this reason. Does that mean we can kill our children because of another reason? The child is born and he won't die the way he looks. Okay, Allah said, do not kill him because of poverty. But I'm killing him because I don't know how, I don't like how he looks. No. Because this, Allah referred to this thing because most of the killing of children was because of poverty. This is why they killed their children. So, in that includes, you do not kill your children for any other cause. And then it says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَةَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. do not come near the crime, those which are revealed and those which are concealed. The fawahish are the major sin. I realize how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Do not come near those major sins. And this is more severe than simply saying, do not do the major sin. Because if it says do not do the major sin, it does not mean you cannot come close to it. But Allah is only telling you do not do it. But if Allah says do not come close to it, that implies anything that might lead to the major sin, you have to stay away from it. Because it might lead to the major sin, and the shaitan is very experienced in deceiving the people. He says, well, this is easy, and this is easy. And step by step, and little by little, he starts pushing the son of Adam, little push up at a time until he falls into sin.